Section 2. Ideas. Module 6. Secondary Ideas. Key Points. Money, Mises teaches, does not provide an objective measure of value. His ordinal, rank-ordered, view of utility was incorporated into the basis of post-war mainstream economics, influencing approaches like rational choice and game theory. An overlooked part of Mises's thinking is the extent to which he has integrated his different influential concepts into a coherent framework. Other ideas. Ludwig von Mises's work, The Theory of Money and Credit, is most closely associated with his regression theorem, along with his arguments that money is a commodity like any other, and his criticisms of fractional banking. However, Mises's work is ambitious and wide-ranging, and he makes a number of other interesting and provocative arguments. One collection of such arguments revolves around the theory of subjective value. Karl Menger introduces this concept in his Principles, saying, "Value is therefore nothing inherent in goods, no property of them, but merely the importance that we first attribute to the satisfaction of our needs." This is an important contribution which Mises and the Austrian school has made to contemporary economics, though subsequent economists used the term utility to describe subjective value. Economic value for the Austrian school is not a property of goods in themselves, but how individuals judge at particular moments those goods will affect their own well-being. By definition, subjective value assumes the possibility that individuals, when they make decisions, will do so based on incomplete information or erroneous judgment. Mises, however, pushes this idea even further than previous Austrian school authors, such as Eugen Böhm-Berwick and Friedrich von Wieser, who had considered it after Menger. For Mises, subjective evaluations can arrange goods in the order of their significance for a particular person acting at a particular time. But, he cautions, you cannot measure subjective use value as a multiple of some unit or a fraction of the significance of another good. As Mises puts it, here profoundly disagreeing with Böhm-Berwick's argument, it is impossible to measure subjective use value. In other words, while people may prefer an apple to eating six plums, they cannot say the utility, or subjective use value, of an apple is six times greater than a single plum. The law of decreasing marginal utility holds that the pleasure obtained from the successive plum units will change. For this reason, says Mises, utility itself cannot be measured. We may say the value of this commodity is greater than the value of that, but it is not permissible for us to assert this commodity is worth so much. This kind of calculation is quite inapplicable to processes of valuation. Exploring the ideas. Mises's argument that utility cannot be measured has profound implications. It is meaningful to ask if one option is better than another, he says, but it is meaningless to ask how much better, or how good it is in absolute terms. For Mises, this means utility is ordinal in nature. It can only be ranked. He makes this argument powerfully, not only in the theory of money and credit, but also subsequently in his influential book Socialism, published in 1922, and Essays on the Subjective Theory of Value, published in 1931, and Controversies in Value Theory, published in 1932. Having made a rigorous argument about what money is, Mises then accompanies it with a compelling argument about what it is not. Money, he says, does not allow us to make absolute measurement of an object's value. Value can only be measured subjectively, for particular individuals at particular moments in time by observing the decisions they make. Mises spreads his arguments about the ordinal nature of utility through his influential fortnightly seminars in his office at the Chamber of Commerce. These seminars were formative, and afterwards influential, in the thought of fourth-generation Austrian economists like Friedrich Hayek, just as Bohm-Berwick's seminar had been for the third generation, including Mises. Oskar Morgenstern was one fourth-generation Austrian economist to be convinced by Mises's arguments about ordinal utility. Morgenstern subsequently incorporated ordinal utility into the von Neumann-Morgenstern utility theorem, of which he was one of the joint creators. For Morgenstern, in a 1931 essay, individuals cannot measure utilities, but they can rank them. They can also compare the differences between total economic utilities by comparing them two at a time. These two abilities, he argues, are all that economic actors need to behave rationally in the economy. Through the von Neumann-Morgenstern utility theorem, ordinal utility thus was incorporated into the expected utility and rational choice theory, which would be the basis of mainstream academic economics after the Second World War. That money does not measure objective value may come as a surprise to non-economist readers. For post-war economists, however, this is an important and nearly universally shared assumption. Overlooked. Mises's contribution to modern economic thought about the nature of money, marginal utility, and business cycles are well known. Some of his ideas, such as ordinal utility, have been incorporated into the contemporary mainstream of economic thinking. Others, like his theory of the business cycle, have been remarkably influential as a counterpoint to broadly invoked ideas originating from a Keynesian perspective. Often overlooked, though, are the extents to which Mises worked all of these ideas together into a coherent framework. Mises was a lifelong architect of theoretical systems, both in the theory of money and credit at the start of his scholarly career and in his subsequent works. One example can be seen in how he links individual decision-making and price theory with his theory of the business cycle. For Mises, fractional reserve banking leads to an inflationary spiral. Investment decisions made on misleading signals given by excessively low rates of interest lead to overproduction and speculative bubbles. This is the boom. The bust, when it comes, as it must, takes the form of rising interest rates, destroying the illusory prosperity. But the bust does not come from banks, says Mises. Instead, in the last phase of the business cycle, individuals choose consumption goods relative to capital goods, driving the price up of the former. That is, they prefer to exchange their money, or more precisely, their supply of money substitutes, of which there is now too much, for physical things. The effect is the bursting of the bubble. And it is rooted in individual decisions about the worth of money compared to other goods. End of Section 2, Module 6. Coming up next, Section 2, Ideas. Module 7, Achievement.